Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Ar-rahmanir rahim maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alaihim. Ghayril maghdubi 'alaihim waladdallin. Amen. The Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, the cherisher, the sustainer of all the worlds. The merciful, most redeemer, master of the day of judgment in which we now live. The alone that we worship, the alone that we serve. O Allah, please show us a straight path, straightway. We have those upon whom thou hast restored thy grace upon us, not those whose portion is in our wrath, not those whose portion is wrath, and not those who go astray. I mean. As-salamu alaykum. I have to admit, after listening to Wali Ali, it makes you want to sing along with him and make you even maybe want to hit a few steps because of the music playing and the words are inspiring and it just give you that, like Brother Norm used to say, get in the spirit, feel the spirit, you know. So, and I used to ask Brother Wally, I said, Brother Wally, I said, how did you get in the those instruments to play like that, and you play like that, you play real, real good? He said, I just play. I said, well, just play then. just play, because it sounds good, and that's the truth. That's the truth, yes. And it sends a spiritual-like message or uplifting message and not one of anything other than that, you know, other than like they have in the other kind of music, you know. Whew. But it's a very uplifting music. I bear witness that there's no God but Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all in between, the creator of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the seal of the prophets and Allah's messenger and servant. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show. This is December the 11th, 2022, on a Sunday night. It's now 7:30. We started at 7, I think it was, 7:07, 7:05, something like that, you know, and getting everything hooked up and making sure it's running right. I think I need a new computer. But anyway, alhamdulillah, pray Allah bless me for one of those two soon. For when it's really real, when I can't continue to work on this one at all. So bear with us. This blog talk radio show is sponsored by Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School. S is in science, T is in technology, E is in engineering, and M is in math. And to me, like I always say, this is can be considered one of the definitions of the religion of Islam, along with peace. Peaceful religion, peaceful way of life. It's science. And Islam is also science because if you check it out, read your Quran, it should be a daily guide that you live by, and read other things pertaining to Islam or science or math or technology or engineering, you know, then you'll see that it all falls in the line or under the topic of Islam, the number one topic. Sponsored by Prayer Mama STEM School, as well as we have a co-sponsor as well, Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad out of Los Angeles, California. Allah bless him to have a blog talk video show. He wanted to share it with someone who was thinking the same mind, the message of concern. And we know that the number one message of concern is the removal of all images from worship that portray divine. Removal of all images from worship that portray divine. And it's from our homes as well. We worship in our homes because the building that we worship in is just what it is, what I just said, a building, the place where we worship. But home is also one of the main, number one places, which is our residence, of studying and worshiping. I remember my grandma used to, when she would be cooking or something like that, or baking, and she would, what they say, feel the spirit moving in her soul and her bones. She had to move. She would run in and hide. She would go in the closet. She would just go in a closet. And for a while, you would hear her just swiftly moving, and you hear the closet door close, and you would hear sniffing in there, and she would be not, it would be audible, but not loud, audible enough to keep it calm, you know, so that if anybody was listening, and if it would help them, she would be praying. And that's what I had heard from my grandmother growing up when I was very young. So she used to feel the spirit, and she would pray. So, when I feel the spirit moving in my heart, I must pray. Okay, that's what it was. That was the name of that song when I was growing up. So she would feel the spirit moving in her heart, and she would go to the closet and pray. And she didn't want us to see her crying or wiping her nose, you know, from crying and tears and all that sort of thing. So she would go in the closet. That's alhamdulillah. Anyway, I want to say assalamu alaikum to the listeners. This computer just goes out when it gets ready. Here we go again. We have to like sign up again. But it's okay. We're going to do just that. We're going to be patient. We're going to take our time. Even though we would like to celebrate with time to be grateful, but we are still here and we're still celebrating. It is still time to be grateful here, the Muslim Journal, and El-Islam, period, the way of life. It's time to be grateful. So we received many texts today letting us know that they arrived there safely, and they're seeing everybody, and everybody's sending their salams and wish you were here, and sorry you had to miss it, and all that sort of thing. But anyway, say that they're still with us, and we know that we are still there with them, even though we're not physically there. Mentally and spiritually, we are there, all together there. So, for those who are on the show for the first time, but who may have forgotten how to go about it. If you put your hand up, which I see one now, okay, so that means that he can get a response, and the mic can be opened, and he can be brought into the queue to speak, to say whatever it is his concern is. But for those of you who may be pushing one on the receiver, and your hand doesn't seem to be recognized, you don't seem to be called on soon enough, then just call 404-452-3312 or 404-421-5630 and let us know that you're having that problem. You're pushing the one on your phone receiver, but you're not. Evidently, nobody sees it because you haven't been recognized as yet or spoken to as yet. Okay, so do that for us, please. But sometimes the systems do act up like that, and we try to catch them because we want everybody's hand who wants to participate, which we enjoy and promote participation because we're sharing with each other and we're learning from each other. So I'm going to let Brother Muhammad. There we go. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Sharifa or Brother Muhammad.
Yeah.
Oh, Brother Muhammad.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you.
Oh, I'm fine, alhamdulillah. About you?
Yes. I'm good, alhamdulillah. Thank you for asking.
I went to the queue to mention that your voice was low and I couldn't hear you too well, but then your voice was louder by the time.
Okay, I put my cell phone up closer to my mouth before I had to lean on the side. But, and I thought it was up as loud as it could go, the volume's up as loud as it could go. But I guess I'll have to hold on to it, am I? Hold on to it and be able to just to talk like that, you know.
Oh, okay.
But thank you. Thank you for letting me know. Alhamdulillah. Okay. So, we're not I was just mentioning that we're not in Washington, D.C., with a time to be grateful. Celebration is today, but we are still celebrating, and we know that it is time to still be grateful, and so we're just doing ours here on the Blog Talk Radio show, where the serious message of concern can also be shared with them. And I know if I call Sister Lala or somebody else to tune in with them and let them know that we're speaking of them and have them in mind, so I know she won't hear me, because I'm sure it's a lot of people there and a lot of talking going on. One second, please. This is a phone call coming through. Hold on, please. Okay, hold on. Well, she must have hung up and took me too long to answer. Yeah, she would call back or leave a message or a text. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay, I'm back on then. Okay, because I had to call my granddaughter calling from out of the state. And anytime she calls, most of the time she's in an emergency, you know, so I just wanted to answer her, but she evidently had to hang up. Because I didn't get a chance to talk to her. As soon as I clicked over, I didn't get a chance to talk to her. Anyway, okay, we're back on
hopefully,
inshallah. Inshallah, everything is okay. Okay, do we have anything that anybody else would like to say before I read my regular? Want to read anything from, you picked anything to read from the Muslim Journal?
I have something I had wanted to read from Brother Henry Cypher's book.
Okay, good. Read that then.
But you might have already read it recently. So once I start, let me know and then I'll stop if you've already read
it. No, it doesn't matter because we read. It doesn't matter if you read a second time because it must be something that worthwhile hearing. These chapters and things that he has in his book is really, they're really good, and they're right to the point. It's about the image and about racial differences, you know, and it has to do with the children as well. And we know that that's our focus for tonight on Sunday nights and Tuesday nights, our focus from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We want to talk as much as we can about the children.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, this is page 107, and it's chapter 25.
Okay. Chapter 20. Okay, got it. No one is like God.
Right.
And that's chapter
so
G. Hi. Okay.
That page and all the 108 and just the rest of the sentence that's on the top of page 109. So is that okay?
Okay, that's okay. Yeah, and I read this last, let me see. Was it me or was it Brother Suja? I got his name up here. Read on March the 21st, 2021.
This one is the last
okay.
ring.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
So go right ahead, sister.
Oh, okay. When we look at human life on earth, we can see that human beings give birth to children who are the image and likeness of themselves. This process of reproduction that God created has proven to be the most productive method for advancing human life on earth. The older children get the more. They began to have physical characteristics and mental characteristics just like the mothers and fathers. It's normal for a child to look and act like his or her parents. But God has made it known in the scriptural language of Revelation that he, God, does not have any likenesses in the heavens, in the earth, or in the waters under the earth. Since God has said that he has no likeness, it automatically stands to reason that God does not have a child, because a child is a likeness. If our children are to develop healthy mentalities, it is vitally important that they understand that God does not reproduce. Our children need to understand that God has never been a parent birthing children into the world, and never has God been birthed into the world as a child. Both the Holy Bible and the Holy Quran warn the human family not to make graven images or likenesses of God. What did Christ Jesus say? He said that he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. Can you tell me what did the law that Jesus said he did not come to destroy say? It said that no one or no thing is like God. Why is it so important that our children understand this vitally important statement of truth? It is important because when children begin to believe that there is someone or something equal to God in power, that is when unbalanced, abnormal thinking can enter into their minds. Okay, I'll stop there. You still there, Sister Diane?
Yes, ma'am, I'm still here. You want me to finish reading it? You want me to finish reading it?
Okay.
Okay. You stopped on page 109. I'm sorry. What was it? You stopped on page 108?
Oh, it's at the top of 109. It begins at 325 years.
Right. Okay. Enter into their minds. Okay, it's at the very top of 109. Okay. Okay, 320. Well, for those who have the book and just just want to know where we're reading in Brother Henry's book. Brother Henry's book titled What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health by Brother Henry Muhammad. Okay, and we're reading chapter 25, started on page 107, and now we're at the top of page 109, the first paragraph. And it reads, 325 years after Christ departed, a large group of Christian bishops were called to a very important meeting sponsored by the newly established Emperor of Rome, whose name was Constantine. At the time of this meeting, the Christian society was being torn apart
and divided over questions concerning the divinity of Christ. There were those Christians who believed that Jesus was God, and there were those Christians who believed that Jesus was not God. Now, at this meeting, over 300 bishops argued back and forth until they decided to vote on which set of teachings the early Christian church would be taught. After the votes were counted, the bishops who believed that Jesus was God had the winning majority, and the bishops who believed that Jesus was not God were in the losing minority. This final vote was very important because Emperor Constantine had vowed to make the teachings that the majority of the bishops agreed upon the official state sanctioned religious teachings of the entire Roman Empire. So the teaching that said Jesus was God was ordered to be taught in all the churches of Christian Rome, but the teachings that said Jesus was not God was kicked out of the church. And those who wanted to teach those exiled teachings were themselves exiled or murdered. That's awful. Just imagine if we woke up in the morning and our religious leaders, working in unison with our governmental leaders, had taken a vote to see which religious concepts we, the citizens of the society, would be thinking with in our everyday lives. Well, that's exactly what happened in 325 A.D., during the time of Constantine, the Emperor of Rome. If you think I'm making this up, go to any library and look up the Nicene Council. The Nicene Council. And you will see for yourself that I am not making this up. Okay, that Nicene is spelled capital N-I-C-E-N-E, capital N-I-C-E-N-E Council. And you will see for yourself that I am not making this up. As a matter of fact, it was the Nicene Council and Emperor Constantine who used the threat of military might to make the early Christian society accept religious beliefs that they might not have accepted under normal circumstances. That means they were forced. The same type of political force that was used on early Christian society by Emperor Constantine is the same type of political force that was used on the African-American slave community. Not only were religious concepts and beliefs forced upon African-American slaves, the slaves were also forced to follow those concepts and beliefs for hundreds of years or be brutally murdered. I believe that if Jesus Christ would have been there at the meetings of the Nicene Council, he would have strongly condemned the decisions that those 300 or more Christian bishops made. Jesus Christ, the righteous prophet and servant of God, would have never permitted the bishops of the Nicene Council to teach the people of the world that he, Jesus, was God. And I could agree with that. That's the end of that particular chapter. I can agree with that because, to me, my understanding of the Bible, Jesus never said, not in one of the chapters or verses, that he himself was God. He said he was sent. I always understand to say that he was sent by God, you know. But see, everybody's understanding what they get when they read. It's called reading comprehension. You know, if you understand what you read, you know, and you can read it two or three times, like the Holy Quran, even in Ramadan. You can read the Quran one Ramadan, and you'll get one understanding. And when you read the next Ramadan, you'll get a different understanding. That's different from the surah or the ayat that you read the previous Ramadan. So that's just the natural, you know. So we've been blessed with a mind to use, a lot of blessings with a mind to use. We got to use the best of our ability, but it's not good to speak on something that you're not aware of and don't know of and can't prove it or can't give any references. And it's not fair to down somebody else who can. You know, you don't down anybody who can, nor who cannot. If you can give the references, if you can give what your quotes, where you got that information from or whatever, you know, or a clear explanation of it, why it was wrote like that, you know, and where that information came from, then okay. You know, if you cannot, then still okay. If you're that interested and sincere about it, then go look it up. You know what I'm saying? Go look it up. Don't down somebody who has done that study, you know, and say, oh, they think they know everything, but tell them that where they get that from. And if that's their understanding, then that's their understanding. You can read and get a different understanding. Okay, so be it. And that's what you call logic of critical thinking. Who says that you're right? Who says that the other person is right? Just check it out. Don't be so quick to down and be negative on something that somebody else is saying and saying that they are the devil or saying that they are Shaitan stepping in. You know, it's to that person's understanding. Don't. It's not good to do that, because if we did, we would be arguing or debating more than we would be learning. Because everybody's not going to say the same thing the exact way. They may say it in a different way, but they may mean the same thing. They may tell you their understanding of what they got out of what they read, or out of what they might have heard, or out of what their research might have given them. You know, they may be talking from that, but it doesn't mean that they are wrong, and doesn't mean that they're right. You say according to the reading, or according to the research that I've done, the information that I got, and my opinion of that, or I understood that to be this way or that way. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to try and make a person feel bad or negative because they felt they said something positive to help, and you're going to turn around and call them Shaitan. That's where Shaitan come in, or Satan comes in. No, not necessarily. Maybe the one who's saying or thinking like that, who said maybe there's Shaitan coming in, maybe the other ones who feel that it's a Shaitanic thing, maybe coming from them would have been a Shaitanic mentality or something. We shouldn't be so quick to criticize others for what they've studied and what they know, you know, and learn. That's not right. It's just not right. But sometimes, it's, you know, some things are best unsaid. So when something is said like that, and after you have given your understanding of something, then you would they say silence is consent, but all of the time it's not. Silence is something that can also be set aside to prevent negative or something that's not helping or needing or causing any better explanation or understanding of what we're trying to get at, you know, or what we're trying to read. So we have to be more thoughtful and mindful of each other. And don't forget now, most of us, we've been in El Islam a long time, and we've done studies from different places and different references and different people. So just be careful. You know, just have to be careful what to say to people, because we're smart people. Can you fool a Muslim? Can you ever fool a Muslim? Or can anybody else fool a Muslim? Not nowadays. You know what I'm saying? But that's one of the old English lessons. I'm going to see one question. But you say, can devil fool a Muslim? Say, not nowadays. That was then. Okay, but not nowadays. And people can read between the lines when people say things. And when you hear different ones say things, you can read between the lines. And you can say, so this is the way they feel about it. Well, I could say something, but I won't even bother with that. That's the way they feel, so be it. You know, they'll get a clearer understanding to see where I was coming from or see what I was trying to explain later on. Maybe they'll get an understanding. If they didn't get an understanding the first time, it's just not meant for them to get the same understanding that you might have gotten or that you might have been trying to explain that you had. You know what I mean? But it doesn't make a person feel good when they think they're trying to tell somebody something for their good to share with them. And then they're recognized as being the Shaitan that just stepped in. Shaitan got to always step in. You know, it doesn't make you feel so good coming from your brother or your sister. But anyway, so much for that one. And just like I can read between the lines, so can you, and so can all of us, because we're old heads. We're not young people anymore. We've been taught to, you know, my grandma used to say, you don't have to be around the person forever or for years and years before you can understand where they're coming from or understand what kind of person they are. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so much for that. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I like your explanation. It was very thorough.
And thank you so much.
I agree to be so quick to be judgmental of what people say.
Right.
And it is to research it, one to research it.
That's
to
right.
Get their understanding of it. And they might even find some more information that they can
That's
compare
right.
with.
That's right. And can share with you. That's right. Mm-hmm. It's just like, too, we learned that everybody's opinion, everybody's entitled to their own opinions, and everybody's opinion should be respected, whether you agree with them or not. You know, whether you agree with them or not, it doesn't mean they got to be the underdog, who got to be looked upon as negative, you know. So just we have to be just more. We got to be serious for one thing. We got to be serious. And Islam is not a argument type of religion. It's a peaceful way of life. We want to sell things peacefully. You know, we've known people to get killed for a nickel, or people to get killed for saying something and explaining themselves the way they understand something. And just because it's not the same way that the other person understands it, you know, they want to throw some fire on it. You know, they want to burn it up, you know, and make it seem like it was so wrong that they said it and didn't say it the way I said it. Want people that we're misleading, you know, and stuff like that. No, it's not misleading. It's just the way the person could explain themselves from what they how they understood. You know, but we have a long way to go. That's why I mentioned the other night, we need to stick together. We need to be together. We need to really seriously unite like we did back in the day. When I say back in the day, I mean back in the day of Imam Elijah Muhammad, when we were sticking together like glue. It was almost like we were so like adhesive tape. You know, we'd be stuck together. I mean, we would help each other. We would do mentally and spiritually. You know what I'm saying? We were just, I'm not saying going to the streets, as they used to say, you know, we were just down with each other. You know, we understood what everybody was talking, what each other was saying. We weren't so quick to jump down another sister's throat when she was saying something that we felt that was not thing to say. And we used to say, if we see a sister or brother doing something wrong, pull their coat, you know, pull their coat. They don't mean jump on them or fight them or down degrade them or low-rate them and all that sort of thing. No, we have to work on ourselves a lot. We have to really work on ourselves a lot now, you know. We really do. And it would only be right then maybe we work on ourselves and love each other more, you know. That's why I like this song. Dagba plays a lot of time for his Dawa team, you know. Where is the love, you know? So I think he said Black Eyed Peas. Black Eyed Peas or somebody like that made that song. But it's the wording of the song that I like, you know, because they started talking about ways of the world, you know. And then they say it's happening like that because we don't have show love for each other anymore. We don't love each other anymore. Everybody cares about themselves. Like they used to say, every man for himself and God for us all. You know, nobody thinks about anybody else anymore, just themselves alone. Okay, and I'm not preaching to the choir. I know I'm not trying to preach to the choir. I'm not. I'm just trying to refresh our memories, you know, give us a refreshers course. We can use those every now and then coming from each other, and it should be all right. Should be all right. Because nobody likes to be misunderstood. Nobody likes to be misunderstood. It's the old song of Nina Simone, remember? Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Excuse me, I'm going back. Going back, just thinking. Okay, I see someone else's hand here who would like to say something. And Sister Sharifa, if you find anything else that you want to step in and read about, or anything else, you know, you may see on your phone about the virus, and it's a lot about it now, since it's re-upping. People think that virus is gone. It's not gone. If it was, it's back again. Okay, let me bring Sister Sharifa, like Sister Quran, or Brother Shuja. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. How you doing, Sister Quran?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Thanks to Allah, who created
good.
The heaven, the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and everything that exists.
That's right. That's
Alhamdulillah.
What do you have to share with us?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What I want to share is that I agree with you saying. I was thinking about that the other day. The same thing you was thinking about, that certain things that is being quoted, that we should at least know where we got it from. Even if you heard someone speak of it, you know, you could say, well, I heard so-and-so speak of this. And then sometimes you could voice your opinion, let them know that you voiced, this is my opinion, this is what I think, you know. And and I agree to that. I agree to that also, you know. And then something you said about the dealing with the Holy Quran, I agreed with all. I was thinking about the same thing also, you know, that if you quote something from the Holy Quran, at least if you don't know the exact, at least you can know, you know, at least point to the direction where it's at, alhamdulillah. I was
right.
That. And also, I want to say, dealing with our children, I was thinking about, I said, you know what, we really do need to have our own school to start teaching our children or doing something, because they don't know about moving racial image from worship. They don't know about that, really, because it has stopped,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot of teaching has stopped, and our children don't know about that. And now I'm thinking about schools, and they're not going to school. And we have to learn. And one thing, we are social creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Did I hope I said that right? We are social creatures,
that's
and,
right.
And we have to social. We have to socialize. That's part of our nature.
Right.
You know, like one time I was watching a story about the Birdman and Alcatraz. You know, and why he was playing with birds is because and he was isolated, but he had to communicate with something, and he communicated
mm-hmm.
with the birds. And I know one guy, they showed that he had I think this guy he was in jail, and he came out and told me he had pet roaches, big old pet roaches, you know.
Is there
and he communicated with them, you know. They came out a certain time, and he fed them, and I guess whatever, you know. But that
mm-hmm.
was a sign. That was a sign of communication. And,
right.
And they know when they put the brothers or the men or the people or the prisoners in isolation, they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That they're
yes.
not separating them for just from physical people. They know that that will mess with their mind.
Yeah.
When you put them in like isolation like that, alhamdulillah. So,
mm-hmm.
but I had written it down that we really need to start teaching our children about a racial image, and then one day I was thinking about it. I said, you know what? When I was growing up in Louisiana, and think about it, Dair, I know you guys too. You know, growing up in Louisiana, we always had some type of. Then a year go around, we didn't have at least two or three things, at least one thing dealing where we all come together as a community, and that's when they used to have the what they call the Ferris wheel. What do you call that? The Ferris used to come into town. You know, where you have the Ferris wheel, and
carnival,
you have the horses.
Yeah, the carnival.
Yeah, the carnival. Yeah, that's right. The carnival. Right, right. And everybody that came, it was like a social thing, you know, like that. And we haven't had that. We haven't had anything social. Like a culture, that's like part of our
right.
culture. We haven't had that in years. I know in years. I haven't.
Right. Yeah. Hold on a minute, Sister Karana. Hold on 1 second. Don't hang up now.
Okay. Okay.
Of the ending. Assalamualaikum, Sister Karana.
Waalaikumsalam.
Okay. Yes. That was Brother Amin was saying he couldn't get into the show. They keep giving him a busy signal.
Shuja was having the same problem.
Really?
Yeah, because he was trying to get on, get in, and it was saying that the circuit lines are busy.
Oh. Well, I don't know what's going on. I know I got in easily. It seemed like you and Brother Muhammad, Sister Sharifa got in easily, and I see someone else who got in. Well, I guess it may be on their end. I don't know. I can't say. But anyway, continue what you were speaking on. But the one that just dialed in, if you want to make a comment or have anything to say, please push 1 on your phone receiver, and your mic will be turned on, and you'll be brought into the queue to give your input. And thanks for coming on. Don't forget, if you want to say something, just push your computer on your receiver, and we'll recognize it. Thank you. Go ahead, Karan.
Alhamdulillah. And I want to say about association, our children, that's very important, association. And also, and like I think I said before, look at think about what's going on with our children. I mean, I ain't going to say all of them, because there might be people that are wealthy, they got their children, you know, doing this, and they have special school. Because, see, our African-American children, because there are schools, when they stopped having schools, they went and got the teachers and got a building and started a school all over again for their children. Our children is the one that's having problems. And what it is that they don't get science. So if they don't get science, that means that they won't know about nature. They won't know about the moon, the stars, and how to plant, and about the flowers and the bees and things like that, okay? They're not getting social studies. If they don't get social studies, that means they don't know their history. And history gives you a head start in life. They don't know what's going on. That's why I said they don't know that. They probably, you ask them about moving racial image from worship, they wouldn't know anything about that. And then you ask them what they know more about Islam, they probably won't even know anything about El Islam either.
Right.
So I'm just saying, you know what they should know. I'm just talking about some of our children when I speak about children. And then also, you ask them about that. They don't know the history. They don't know how to associate with each other. And our boys that grew up to be men. I didn't have a husband in the house at that time. I used to make my boys stay outside. I feed them in the morning, and they didn't come back in until 6 o'clock in the evening. And then they had to use the restroom. I said, y'all know what to do. Just don't do it on my plants. That's what I tell them. You know, I said, you know what to do. Yeah, because I had to teach them to be outside, because if they stay in the house, they'll lose their imagination. If you don't have, and that's a teacher, if your child don't have imagination, they miss something. Something is missing. They will miss something. You have to have imagination. And so if they stay in the house, and then if boys stay, I had a cousin that stayed in the house, and he became a faggot.
Oh, Lord.
Because they don't know what to do when they get out. I mean, if they stay in the house all the time, just think when we was growing up, we ran the streets when we went. I mean, I remember my brother used to go 3 miles from the house, and nothing never happened to them. My mama said, as long as you be home before your daddy get here. and my daddy wanted to be in the house before dark.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So they know to be home around about 5 o'clock, something like that. So I was just saying, we just have to really start educating our children, and we do need a school for them, and we need to start to do. We really need, and I was thinking about that too. So I said, I'm gonna be talking. I said, but I'm gonna start doing it myself, even with my grandchildren. I'm going to start teaching them some things and have just a little small school, no more than the people that I, that the family that I know. You start with your family first.
Right.
You start with your family first. And we, you know, really need to get our children. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'll wait till you finish, and then I'll.
No, I'm just going to say we really need to get them online because they're going to make
right.
the money.
Uh-huh.
And one thing they didn't take away from us, we still support our children. They did not take away. We support our African-Americans still support our children. They do that. You send your children out there something to sell, because I used to do my grandchildren, I let them make some cookies and go to sell. Everybody buy their cookies, whether they hard or not.
Yeah, they will, grandchildren, yeah. Yeah, they will. We'll buy them. Yeah, and I know what you mean. The boys inside, they won't be able to learn what to do or won't be able to use their imagination. And that is stagnating their minds, because that's what your imagination is built on, your mind and how you can think, you know. So or you can imagine. It still takes the mind. It takes that gray matter. It takes that brain to help do that. So it's all dealing with the mind. So that means they become stagnated and not so, don't get the growth that they need or the exercise that they need for their brain, for their minds, in order to use their imagination, you know.
That's right. And Daya, if you don't exercise, you got to exercise your mind just like you exercise your body.
That's true.
You have
That's
to do that. Alhamdulillah. And teach them repetition. Teach them repetition, how to go over and over. That's important, too. That's important for
yeah.
our children.
Learn fast like that. And not only children nowadays, some of the older people, some adults learn fast that way too. That's why when they go on a new job or they're being trained and they want to know just how do you learn best, you know, is it by hands or is it by your imagination or is it by your mind or is it by somebody telling you and repeating it over and over and over? They let you choose which way you learn best, you know. And being and able to do that training and to learn the
Alhamdulillah. And all I'm gonna say for senior citizens like our age, that's good for us to repetition too, because I found out that even myself, I was doing something, I said I better do this here every day, all the time, step by step, because so I won't forget.
Mm-hmm.
Because at our age, we have a tendency we might forget. But if we do something over and over again, we won't.
I said, that's some people now. That's some senior citizens, not all. Because if you start trying to...
Right. Some things.
You're going to make me think you think I'm a child. You got to say something to me over and over and over and over.
No, I was saying doing things. You know, like you do something the same way. If you do it over and over again, then you could always remember the steps, you know, how to do it. That's what I was saying. And then I was going to say is always to tell our children, always let them know how to do things. Like if you're making something or like you're doing something, tell them to go, like in business, I said, go step by step by step in your business. Do everything right in your business. There's going to come a time when you have to do the trick of the trade, where you have to take shortcuts. But that way, if you take the shortcut, then you know how to go back and correct it. But if you keep taking shortcuts when you start off, then you make a mistake, then you ain't gonna know how to correct it, because you done took up because you done skipped all those main steps. So it's always good
to
know how to. That's right. That's right.
You gotta learn what you're doing. Then you take shortcuts step by step. Yeah, that's true, Karam.
That's right. That's right. Alhamdulillah. That's what I want to say. So we have a lot to teach our children that we have been taught and they're not being taught. And just think about if they grew up never having, like we grew up now, we say, oh, I remember we had the Ferris wheel. We know things to do because we have done it while we was young. We repeat some of the things that we've done that our parents have taught us. But
okay,
if they don't ever associate, they ain't going to know how to do it.
Yeah. If they don't never what?
Associate. You know, have association, having gatherings and stuff like that. That is something, that is part of our culture. That is something we're supposed to do. Everybody else is basically still doing it, but we are, but they're putting that on us. And like I told you, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen, Daya. They, them so-called Assalamu Alaikum brothers sold their business. They had all the business out here in the park, out there in the area where that park, where I got those lots at. I haven't been out there lately, but I told you I was wondering why it was so dead, and they sold it to the Mexicans. I said they sold it to the Mexicans.
The business.
And you can't, they, you know, like they have the business, they sold the business to the Mexicans. Didn't even ask the brother. I said, nobody can't tell me no brothers didn't want to buy no business. I said, and then they didn't put the word out. If they put the word out, Shuja and I would have bought it. That's right. That's what that's about us.
Hmm? Yeah, you had a lot around there.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying because I have it. It's in the community. I have the lots in the community. You know, like that, and houses in the community. So I'm just saying. So if they had let it be known that they was gonna sell, then we would have known about it.
Hmm.
But I know one brother is talking about he want to sell, and I'm gonna go around and ask him. I'm gonna go see if he still want to sell, cause I told him he's talking about some kind of Assalamu Alaikum. I said Assalamu Alaikum. I said how you gonna say Assalamu Alaikum with all that alcohol and pork and cigarettes you got back?
Yeah, right. You said look, some things just don't go together.
And he told me. He told me that's why he gets ready to sell it. They getting ready to sell. I said, oh, okay. All right. And ever since I put that newsletter, and look, since I put that newsletter out there, said, Assalamu alaikum, and the teacher of Imam Awardi Muhammad, it's been kind of quiet because they didn't know what. Now they know what Muslims supposed to do and what they believe in. They didn't know, and here it is, they doing everything, and then they doing everything in the book, like they wanted the Negro.
The Negro. Look around yourself.
What Negro mean black in Spanish?
Excuse me. I don't know why I'm so thirsty so frequently here. Like the Negroes. Yeah, but that's true. You know, and I did hear, and I was, oh, what did I think they sent it through my text phone about there are schools and there are Muslim schools being set up too. They say in homes, like more homeschools. They said, and it was a large percentage of them too are setting up homeschools now. Muslims.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about doing that with my grandchildren. My daughter getting ready. She getting ready to come out here. You know, you always have one child that you know that's the enforcer.
Yeah, that's the family.
Yeah, one that's the protector, and they always have one that to protect the family, try to keep it in order, and then they have one that's the enforcer that's gonna get the job done.
Okay. Put them together for work.
Right. And so then she gonna come down here, and then I said, that's good, then I probably could get a class started because they have that energy. They have the energy.
Uh-huh. And you can get money for that too, you know. Grants for that, for homeschooling.
Sound like DUII.
but
this is business. This is business. BUII. They could donate to BUII, and BUII donates to our Even Park Dower Marketplace, and that's how you get the money. That's how you do it.
Well, I'm sure you have one or something that's an LLC, and then others nonprofit.
Right. See, because we have an LLC here in Louisiana. And that's how they work. And BUII, I get paid, and also and then you pay the workers and you pay for the books and all that, the school stuff and all that. That's how they work. That's how they work dealing with corporation. And you can't tell me that not no cooperation. You can't tell me anybody in business. Majority of those things and that Walmart got, they're selling in Walmart store. Walmart probably own half of it.
We can do it. Hmm? I'm telling you.
That's right. We could do it too. That's what I'm talking about.
Amazon, just like Amazon. I mean, you know, and they tried to people to go into their own business, and Amazon would start them up because they're growing so big. But
that's right.
Just like Amazon. They had all that. I just sit down a lot of times. Like I said, I spend more time in bathroom. And did I want him to move the TV? And I said, you know, I don't watch TV that much. So you want me to move this in there or that? You want me to move your bed in there and all that kind of stuff? It's not big enough. The room's not big enough. But, you know, I sit peacefully and don't worry about being disturbed at that particular time. And I can go through my phone and all these messages that come through and advertisements and all. Otherwise, I don't, when I'm out and about out here in the house, I don't take time like I should to sit down and look at the text, the different texts and different advertisements that come through that could probably be beneficial, you know. But then when I look at them, time is up for me. It's a deadline, so I'll be missing out. But I'm about to, I'm getting my health straightened out, and then I'm going to be back in stride again. Like I like to say, here I am back in stride again. Yeah, you got to do inshallah. Can't leave that out. Inshallah. I would like to get back out. Yeah, I would like to get back out and moving again. I tell you. I want to come my way to Georgia and get stagnated. Become stagnant.
It's how that saying go, if you don't move, you don't go nowhere.
No, I don't go out. I don't go out.
No, what I'm saying is that you said you're constantly doing. I said that's good. And you said, so I was just saying, if you don't move and do something, then you don't go nowhere. That's what I was saying. You become, like you said, so alhamdulillah. So that's good that you said that you can continue moving. And you're supposed to, what that saying is, you're supposed to work until, you're supposed to do something from the cradle to the grave, move to the cradle to the grave, keep on working.
Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave.
Right. Seek knowledge from the cradle. Right. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. And you keep working, too. I mean, you keep working. You never stop working.
Oh, a Muslim never stops working until Allah calls him for the day of Yom Kiyamah. Allah calls him on home and sends that death angel to come. Then you stop working. And then you don't stop working. You don't even stop working after a while after the death angel comes. You know, you're still in that grave of praying a lot that is light it up, you know, keep it lit, you know, for me so I can be able to continue to do some work, you know.
I want to talk about something else that came to my mind thinking one time. I was watching television and they was talking about the black hole that's in the, the black hole that's,
In the universe,
you know, they said that the black hole, there's, you know, infinity. There's, you know, there's no end. And they say they even sent these little robots or something to go up in there. And they couldn't even, they didn't come out. They only go so far and then they just blank out, you know, so they get lost in there. And then I thought about, I said, wow, just to think, they have a black hole here on Earth too.
Oh yeah.
And I wonder, does it go from one end all the way to the other end?
Yeah, don't start me to thinking. Don't start me to saying yeah.
No. That's why I say I was wondering. You know.
I know. What you're saying. I know exactly.
Does that happen? You know, with the children. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right.
And I was thinking, so our children need to know about that. So I bet they'll know.
Yeah, we need to get our children ready, get their minds ready to be, accept or adhere to the learning
that's facing them, because this is, it's going to be their world, you know. It's going to be their world. Only thing we can do, inshallah, is try to help prepare them to be able to handle it and to face it and to know what's going on, and it doesn't come as a shock to them. So and sit them on away from here, you know. They got to be a part of, you know, because listen, what is it? Ever so many years, I mean, things change. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. It used to be one of Imam W.D. Muhammad's favorite songs. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. So, you know, all that too, is coming and shall pass, because listen, we just have to keep ourselves together too. And so we got to keep ourselves together for them. And we have to learn too, so we can be able to teach them, teach the children, you know. Because when they start asking questions, don't say, oh, stop asking those silly questions. No question is silly for them. Be grateful that they can use their mind to think, to ask a question. I mean, they want to know. So we really we really got to be sincere about it. You know, like I said, everybody's thinking just, somebody get tongue-tied. I can't get it out fast enough. It's just like we talk about what we need, you know, but what are we going to do to get it? We know what the problem is. We need. And what is the solution? The solution lies in the problem. If we need, what are you going to do? Get it. You're going to get it if you need it, you know. So, and never think that we don't have what it takes to get what we need, you know. I'd like, they used to use old sayings to say, use what you got to get what you need, you know.
Alhamdulillah.
And, your mind, you know, use your mind. You know, that's what you got. And to get what you need. You need money. You need your share of this material world. Or don't forget about the hereafter. You need justice. You need peace, you know. So, you know, we just have to stop and think. We're too afraid to think. That's why we have this, all this music all loud and all crazy acting and crazy words to it and crazy talking. But they're too afraid to think.
Look, I want to say one more thing, Sister Daya, just to think that our parents taught us different things. You know, our parents taught us different things. And if we don't teach our children when they grow up, how are they going to know what to do if we don't teach them? If we don't teach our children how to, because I know a young lady, she had told me, she said, yeah, we was wealthy, you know. She said, we was a wealthy family. I said, we had maids and everything. And she said that they to cook and clean up and all that. She said, and now, she, and so she was, I think she was in her 40s, and she said, you know what? The only thing about that is that I don't even know how to clean up my house. She said she don't know how to clean up her house because she never cleaned up. The maid always did it. She don't really know how to cook because the maid always did it. You know, that's what she said. And I said, wow, you know, and it just surprised me that she said that she didn't know how to clean up because she never cleaned up.
That's
because they,
I was going to say something, but that doesn't make sense. That does not make sense. To me, that's not even logical, because I
don't care.
You're going to be able to do something. You know, you don't want to be laying up in your bed night after night in your bed not being made and messed up and dirty and nasty and stinking. You don't want that. So you're going to learn how to get rid of that. And you're going to get hungry. So you have to learn how to cook something. Somebody made cook for you. You got to cook something one day. Then number ooze noon, boil water.
But Daya, she was smart as hell. I came across some smart sisters, but she was one of those smart sisters. She was really smart. But the thing about it is, Daya, but this is what I'm talking about. Now, cleaning the house, let me tell you how my mom had us cleaning the house. When I said cleaning the house, it's more than sweeping. I had to wash the windows. And then, if I didn't have nothing to do, she gave me, and she said, go ahead. And I had to wash. I had to clean all the way to the bottom of the, you know, the floor, to call the little pour down to the floor and light that on my hands and clean that Baby. And clean all on the sides and wash the walls. I mean, she had me doing, my mom, she said, and that's how I learned how to clean the house. That's when you clean a house, when you know how to sweep all, get all the trash out the corners and go down there and wash and mop and get all that trash out the corners and the windows and even the cracks of the walls and the cabinets. You got to clean out your cabinets and all that. That is cleaning a house. And she didn't know how to do that. And what I mean is she didn't know how to do it.
Well, she didn't know how to do it. As she grew older and went to school, trying to learn all this knowledge and everything, somebody around her should have said something and told her something. Or her roommate, if she had a roommate, I'm sure they probably hipped it or something if she wasn't clean, you know, in her apartment or didn't keep things neat around or something like that. I remember myself, too. I grew up by my grandmother. My grandmother raised me, two cousins who were male children. And I was the only female, and I was the youngest. But we used to live in the projects. And in the projects, they had those old, what they call those, stick blocks, or cinder blocks, whatever blocks. Anyway, the big old blocks the walls were made out of in the projects there in Nashville, Tennessee. And when the summertime came, it was time for cleaning. You know, you do that fresh spring cleaning when you raise the windows and all that kind of stuff. I would have, my grandmother would have a bucket of water with spick and span and ammonia or whatever in it that she cleaned the wall. She'd go with a big old brown sponge, thick brown sponge, on a little stair step ladder, you know. And she would all in the ceiling, around the ceiling, all the way down. She'd get the middle part first, all the way down, and then my cousin, male cousin, would come behind her, and he had a bucket with rinse water in it. And he would rinse it after she washed it with the suds. He would rinse it. And then I'd come behind with a big towel, you know, the big towel. And here I was, little stand up on the but I would dry the water. And those walls would be clean and freshness. The freshness you could smell when the windows were up and everything. And that's what we had to do. And I remember a long time, we didn't even have no mop. We had a bucket, with some thick and span or ammonia or something in it like that. But we wore gloves, you know, big old thick, I don't know if you remember or not, big old thick brown sponges, you know. And we mopped the floors with those. Go over the floors again. And with a rag on a broom handle or old mop handle, mop handle, not the mop. And we would put it to old towel somewhere and dry the floors. But we would get on our hands and knees and wax the floors. So now anybody going to tell me nothing about no clean, nobody can see when they don't live in no filth. I mean, they may let something get a little junky because it may get a little lazy after a while. But then when a spirit hit them and they have to move, they have to get up. Start cleaning. You know, get up and start cleaning.
I have another question. And
okay.
And my question is that why is it that when we get a certain age, we accumulate things? We have this, we have that, you know, and we have a whole lot of stuff. Like,
I know you're talking about, my husband called it a hoarder. He tell me, you're a hoarder. You just want everything. You want
And I thought about that. I thought about that the other day, and I said, you know what? Maybe because we accumulate things and we know that it's important. And then sometimes we think that our children could probably use it, but we know that that is something that is important that we could use.
Mm-hmm.
Because because I know quite a few people, when they get a certain age, they do that.
Yeah, they do.
And guess what my mom used to do, and I do it. She used to like you have the meat, you get the meat and be in these little spot, what do you call that? Containers. They'd be like You know what I'm talking about, the little white container with the meat beans in.
Yeah.
And the potatoes and all that stuff. She, I came to her house one day, and she had a whole bunch of them just stacking up there. And I said, now, what my deal saving these things for? I couldn't understand what she was saving them for. And Daya, I saves them now. Because I could use this for this. I could do this for this.
But let me tell you what my husband, we're off the subject, aren't we? We're going to get back on the subject. But my husband tells me, when I go around to the restaurant by Atlanta Masthead and buy the food, they have nice trays, top on it, you know, and they don't use the styrofoam. They use the, like, expensive, they make enough money to put the food mm-hmm. in. And you can wash those things out. And you can put food in it, you know, well, we used to go to work or you go someplace you want to put some food in it to take for lunch, you know. And I got about four of them. My husband, today we did that. We ate out, and I brought the food home because I said a Blog Talk Radio show. I don't want to cook and then go with that Blog Talk Radio show. I want to rest up for a minute. And we ate out of those, and I put them in there in the sink in some water to soak so I can wash them out and dry them and put them up when I get finished with the Blog Talk Radio show. My mother said, throw that junk away. I said, I'm not throwing it away. You don't wash no dishes.
And then you never know when you have company and you have to, and you want to share your food, right? That's right.
Then I'm take a plate home, and give that to them and take some food home with them and something like that, you know. My husband say, you save all this stuff and then you can't find it. I say, yeah, because you tell me to throw it away, but you make use of them. I go out there and you got seeds from the garden. He done put some seeds in my little containers that I was called myself saving with the tops on them, you know, all kind of stuff, nails, all that kind of stuff in my little containers he tell me throw away, other little round containers, you know.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, and I got a story for, and ain't nothing but papers, briefcases, and little suitcases. Of papers. My husband and I have been married for 18 years now, and I still got a story to be that I'm paying for $224 now a month. And he said, you have to get this stuff out of this storage, you know, because you use that money. I said, you know, you're right. But I can't throw away my papers. I have to look at every one of them to see what. I almost lost my papers that I sold my house in Tennessee. Almost threw them away like that. Just throwing stuff away. Can't do that.
Oh. Alhamdulillah.
Everything's going on okay. Yeah.
Well, alhamdulillah.
Somebody
else. Day 33.
It's day 33. Yeah, I was hoping that somebody else would have something to read or something to talk about. But when I come on Tuesday night, inshallah, I'm going to have a whole lesson that's planned to share about the COVID, because it's information, a lot of information you can gather now. It's even on the TVs, you know. Sister Sharifa came on the other night. I know you heard her about what Brother Ramadan has said in his on the first Sunday about the health consortium, what he has shared with them about it, the virus and everything, and the new things springing up from it.
Like I said, all you have to do, all the medicine, what Allah said, for every disease there's a cure, and all that medicine is right there. In your backyard, if you got that dandelion, that's why they don't want you to. Because I was talking to my brother, I said, you know what? I heard somebody say that they don't want us to have dandelion, and you know, don't want to grow dandelion in your yard. I said, how can they stop something that the law done threw down there? Yeah, but I said, how could they do that? How could they do something like that? You know, try to stop somebody from doing, you know, from that growing in your yard. But what it is, that's the medicine right there. I'm telling you, believe me. I'm telling you, I use that for them answers. Gets on your feet, and you can put cold water and everything. You still feel that stain. Girl, you put that, rub that on your feet and gone, just like I said. You'd be like, well, what happened? You forgot that that the stain was there. And it'll stop blood clots, too. Yeah, that dandelion green, and then it stopped blood clot. Like I had, cut myself, and I said, I'm gonna see if this really worked. I went in out there, and I was on the lot, and got that dandelion, and kind of crumb it and put it up there. It stopped the bleeding. Because when you get older, it seems like you don't clog like it's supposed to, you know. It stopped.
You mean it made blood clots?
It stopped the bleeding. It stopped the bleeding.
Oh, okay.
Are
you talking about the fresh dandelion from the yard?
Yeah, the dandelion from the yard.
Oh, you crush it up and put it on the sore, on the cut?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it'll heal sores too. I'm telling you, I used it. I take it and you could squeeze the juice out of it. One time I just squeezed some and I had a little grind. I squeezed all the juice out of it and put it in a little jar, you know, like that. Yes, I'm telling you, it works.
That is true.
And then that lily plant that they have, that lily plant, that the yellow and the white lily plant, that flower is the same. I looked it up and researched on that flower. Is the same flower that they get the medicine for your heart, for people that have heart problems. It's called lily. Yeah, you see the white lily and all that. Yeah, they have white, yellow. I know they have white and yellow. I saw that white and yellow lily. Yes, and
Did they bring out at Easter time? At Easter time, they bring those lilies
No, it comes out during Easter time, because that's the summertime. It starts getting warm, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have a tree that I got to catch it this time because it hit the ground. Some of them hit the ground. That magnolia. But I'm making the oil. I have a magnolia and that flower drops, and that have a lot of health benefits too. And I said, I'm gonna get some of that. I'm already making an oil for you guys. I got the bamboo oil. That bamboo oil is, you know, the central oil. Then we'll mix it up with the that tea. That tea calls is a dandelion. Is it dandelion? No, not tea. That tea is called I forgot the name of it. But that tea that I was telling you about, that tree tea. I'm gonna mix that up. I'm gonna do a central oil and mix that up with the vitamin E and the olive oil and the essential oil to give it the central oil. That's make sure that it have a good smell to it. And put that on your body.
Uh-huh.
And the black seed oil.
Oh yeah, I use that anyway. Yeah, I use that.
And all of that, not only you could put it on your skin, but you could put it in your food too, because all of it, the olive oil, the coconut oil, and the the vitamin E and all that, yes.
Mm-hmm. I love coconut oil. Yeah. I like to even cook in coconut oil.
Because, see, you have to remember, your skin is just like, because what we thought about that oil in your skin, it's because they say your skin is just like, what is skin? Skin is really, what is leather? Leather is really skin, the skin of an animal, right? And what you do with your leather coat, to get your leather coat shiny and good, what you do, you sometimes put some oil on it. Just put some little oil on it, and then it'll look just like it's new. And I said, dang.
Yeah.
And that's your skin do the same thing, too. And that's why you get wrinkles in your skin. It's because it's dry. So you got to put moistures in. So every time you wash your hands, just put a little oil on it. Don't dry it, and then put it on your face. And that put the moisture and the oil back into your skin.
Yeah.
And drink water.
Good to have a nice bathtub, too, that you can sit in and run the water in and put a drip, you know, a little oil in it, you know.
That's right.
Therapeutic. Well, it's breathing in and therapeutic as well, because it keeps the moisture in your skin, and it keeps the skin from being dry as well, and keeps it healthy. That's why it's good to soak you know, in a bath in the wintertime. Taking showers in the summertime is all right, but don't let it dry your skin out. Just shower because it flushes away the oil and it dries the oil out of your skin.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm done.
No, and I was saying one thing we have to remember, our skin is our first line of defense. That's where everything gonna come in is through your skin. Your skin is your first line of defense. And also you could take that olive oil and you could brush your gums and your teeth with it. It's good for that too, for your gums and your teeth. Especially if you go, because I said I got to get some replacements. So I said I'm going to start treating my gums with the with that olive oil, you know, and with the oil. You could brush your teeth with it. You know, after you brush your teeth, then you brush it with that too.
Yeah, after you brush your teeth with the toothpaste, then you brush your teeth with oil, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm seeing the dentist now, she's got about 6 teeth to pull. Oh, at the bottom. One of them is kind of loose right now, and I can't eat well today.
And start using, well, use that oil. Use it while you, until you get it done. Just start kind of, just do it lightly. You know, brush your teeth with the oil. You can use the olive oil, the cod liver oil, whatever oil you want to use, the vegetable. Not the oil, that COY, cod oil, but, you know, the peanut oil, the
black.
Yeah, that type of oil right there, yeah. And brush your teeth with it, and then when they pull the teeth, you're gonna see how fast it's gonna heal. You're gonna heal real good. You're gonna heal good.
Okay, all right.
That's good,
That's one way to be useful, Theron. That's one way you can be useful to be very, very helpful. If you would take no more than maybe about 30 minutes or one of the first hours or so or whatever that you may need to talk about health. You know, if you could just focus on that a little bit to give us maybe an hour or 45 minutes or 30 minutes, you know, when we come on either night, Sunday night, or, you know, you can do
that.
And that.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it on, a Tuesday?
This is Sunday. Then we come on again on Tuesday. Sorry. Want to start next week, you'd be okay.
Girl, I've been asking you down there all day what the day is.
I've been trying to tell you what day is.
I had to train him and let him know. My mom had Alzheimer's, and I found out she could ask me, and I said, one day my sister, you know, he had told my mom something, and then he got really nasty with her. He was kind of, I just told you this. And I said, dang, I told him, don't you ever talk to my mama like that again. You know, I said, don't you ever talk to her like that again. As a matter of fact, I said, you don't even have to come back into this house to talk to my mom like that. But what I did is that, every time she asked me something, she could ask me, and she always asked me about 5 times, and I give her the same answer over and over. Give her the same answer like she did me the first, and that helped her. See, what people don't understand is that when someone have, it's like they getting having a problem, for you want them to heal, and they ask you something, don't be saying, I just told you that. Don't say that. Just tell them like they just asked you, and that's how that person heal. They can't heal if you put that negativity in them, and then they're gonna get frustrated, and you know, and before you know it, they're gonna forget everything.
And they won't even be interested in even listening to you, what you're talking about anyway. You know, and that negativity, I tell you, they need to take it out, take it away. They don't even need to know about that word no more, no negativity. They only need to know about positive, because they're wearing that negativity out, you know. They didn't know how to bust your bubble and get you discouraged, and people that are not strong, like you said, it does not help them. You know, like if you know person forgets, and if you try to if they ask you, what did I do with this? You say, it's right there. You know, or you put it in there, put it right there where you can always remember to get it. You know, and something like that. And then they ask you again, where's it? Right there. Say that, you know, don't say, didn't I tell you that?
That's right.
certain way, and I have to tell you the same thing over and over. Yes, yes. Tell me the same thing over and over. If you were helping, you want to help me and try to help remember. Yes.
That'll help the person to heal, right? And you know another thing that I think I want to do. I'm gonna make sure I'm gonna do it on a Sunday. They give me a chance on Sunday since during the first month to be like class is our rights. It is so important that you know. When we was growing up, we knew our rights, our human rights, our civil rights, and our community rights. And that is something that we need to know, and our children need to know that too. Isn't that something? Knowledge. Unity is power, and knowledge is power.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to make it through. We got to educate them and at least tell them things that, and our children are not doing it. And so that's why we got the grandmothers, and we have to, but they're telling them something. But we have to do our part, too, and give them the wisdom. And that's our part right there.
Yeah, we have to. Because these young people, they have babies and stuff like that. They don't know themselves what they're doing when it comes to trying to teach those babies, you know, like they should. They don't know how to do like they should, you know, and they have to be trained all over again according to who they're raised by, you know. And sometimes they're raised by somebody that's very prominent, know what they're talking about, know what they're doing and trying to teach them. But then when they grow up and they get into this here mold of their peers, they act like they never learned anything. Act like nobody never even taught them.
And we definitely need to teach them about Allah, because just to think, look, like I said, we went to church. Our parents made sure that we went to church. I knew somebody told me one time when I was in L.A., said, you must come from a very religious family. And all thing I thought about, we went to church Monday, Wednesday, and Sunday. 3 days out of a week, and then on Saturday, they have a gathering or something like that. So we stayed in church. We stayed in God. But I came out looking for God because I knew something was wrong. I said, that's why I came out looking for God.
Yeah, you're God conscious. But you were looking for him physically?
When I said I was looking for him, I was looking for him with the knowledge to know about God. That was the name when I said that, because I was looking for God. But I was looking for the knowledge of God because I knew that something, whatever it was, something was wrong. I said, something is wrong. I just knew something wasn't right. That's all. I knew something wasn't right. They had churches that was drinking. When they got out of church, some churches I knew, we lived right across the street from a church. When they got out of church, they were drinking alcohol and cigarettes like it wasn't nothing.
Yeah, not God conscious at all. No, not God conscious at all.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. So we have to teach our children to be God conscious. That's the main thing.
That's right.
God
conscious. That's it. And there's one thing that I can say. They may not, they're not teaching them, but it would, the whole thing. Like they should be. They may think that they're teaching them the right thing when they just teach them about God, but then they come up with Jesus being the God, and that's not true, and they got to be taught that's not true. Children got to be taught that's not true. Then they got to be taught, well, who is God? You know, and what does God do? What's the purpose of having having God? You know what I'm saying? And we got to teach them that God is the creator. It's only one, you know. It's not one, not three in one, but there's one. And there's little simple things, you know. It's just like if you can, even the grown-ups now, they may ask you, well, how do you know that Jesus is not God? You know, how are you going to tell me Jesus is not God and I know he died on the cross? No, okay, you say that, that's what you have been taught. But listen to this and let me know which one makes more sense. When somebody tells you that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you know that you will still be locked up and sentenced if you do something, if you sin, and they find you guilty, like killing somebody or like stealing something or whatever the case may be that's going against the law. Now, if Jesus is God and he died for your sins. God never dies anyway. And then the truth about that is, check out what you just said. If somebody dies for your sins and you're still sinning, then you can go, like I said, go to the jails in different places and plead your own case and say you might have done it, but Jesus died for your sins already, so you don't have to pay for that crime. Because Jesus doesn't pay for it already. You know? Because Jesus doesn't pay for you already. He died and suffered on the cross and paid for that sin for you already. And you were nowhere around when he thought about it. You rolling up there, rolling around up there in the atmosphere up there in the gravity, rolling around as an atom waiting to materialize and waiting to be created so you can come and be on down here as an embryo. You know?
Alhamdulillah.
When God gets ready for you. Create, huh?
Look, this is how we could test our children too. You know, even the one that said that they're Christians. Ask them. And you know, when we was growing up, we knew the Ten Commandments and we knew the Lord's Prayer. Ask them to say the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments. If we didn't know nothing else, we knew the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer. See if the children and then even ask our children to say their Fatiha. And that's one thing we do. We got to teach them to pray to Almighty God. That's one thing. Do they know their prayers? If we didn't know nothing else, we knew our prayers. That's the first thing we learned is our prayers, to pray to Almighty God.
And we definitely know how to thank God for blessing us to live through another day. And now I'm going to bed, so now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, that's the prayer that all children know, most of them. And that right there is talking about. Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. No, go ahead. You finish. You finish.
But I'm just saying, you know.
Okay.
If Jesus was God, then how can he die? Why did he die on the cross? And then you know what he said when they were nailing him to the cross? God, oh God, why have thou forsaken me? Well, what God is he talking to? Him talking to himself?
That's what you need to pray. That's what you need to print out to them. And guess what else we are teaching our children to do? When they get ready to eat, they do not say their prayers over their food. They do not bless their food.
That's right.
You don't see that more, and that is something that has to be instilled. They're not gonna grow up and know how to do it because it's how we learn to do a lot of things because of Islam. And I learned how to do it as a child, but when I left my house, I left my house, and I don't think I ever said the Lord's Prayer or prayed in about 11 years.
Really.
Yes, I mean, I call on God, though. I call on God one time when that man put that gun to my head. I said, oh, God, is this the way I'm going to go out? This is the way I'm going to end? I did. I called on God. I asked God, is this the way it's going to be? And I didn't move. I didn't say anything. I just said to myself, oh, God, is this the way it's going to end?
Right.
And that's why we need self-defense. Because some kind of way these self said, all you have to do is distract them one time and you could be able to defend yourself. That's all you have to do. If they just, you just look at the person. Most people that know karate and self-defense, they keep their eyes on the person. When that person take his eyes off of you, then you could be able to strike. Even if he make one move, a certain move, you could be able to strike and overpower him. And those are things we teach our children, self-defense, so they could be able to survive.
Yep, and when I grew up, I was going to, my grandmother taught me the main area to head for, the main area to strike that weakens them, takes them right down to their knees. Kick them as hard as you can in that area. They'll go down. Kick real fast, like you kickboxing. Kick real fast and short, like punch your head and back real quick in that area. And there's that groin down there, and they'll take them to their knees, and then you can hit them in the head with something, then from the back.
But how do you take them out?
Got to plan.
With that one strike. Huh? That one strike is right there. If you get that one strike right there at the neck. Right at the neck and that. Yeah, right there at that neck. If you get to that neck and strike them at that neck, then they're going to have a very serious problem.
Yeah, that's true. That's the carotid artery. Yeah, on the side there where you can feel the pulse beat. That's what they call.
No. I'm talking about that under that chin, where that throat is at, under that chin right there. That's where you could.
They used to call that the Adam's apple right there. I hear what you're talking about. Sometimes in some people's neck it sticks out as a bone, and other people's neck it doesn't. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, up under the chin.
Alhamdulillah.
The neck.
And then I used to wonder why people always hit people in the back of their head. But right there in the back of your head, that back of your head
right there,
is very sensitive.
It's called the
It's
called the medulla oblongata. And you hit them in the back of the head back there, that's it. Knock them right out. If you hit them hard.
Yeah, they will sleep.
Yeah. They will sleep. And even if you're choking somebody and you put that pressure on the carotid artery, there's the arteries on the side, you got one on both sides of your neck, and it sticks out to some people's neck. I mean, it sticks out like a big vein.
But
it's the carotid.
But you know what? We have to teach our children. I heard Imam Rasul, and he was talking about self-defense. And he was talking about, like, when people try to choke you, just to think about it. You got your hands is free. The first thing you do, you try to get to their hands to stop them, right? But look at all that. You got your knee where you can hit them right here. You got your hands where you can punch them on the side. You got all that. You see, and that's where you got the, that's where we have to think. You know, that's why you have to teach them self-defense so they can think that. When they do that, you got all these, think what all you got free.
Yeah, but you got to grip. If you're going to get somebody on the neck, you're going to have to get that neck grip. You got to get that grip hold. You can't be doing it with a weak hand.
But if you could hit, that's right. But if you could, while they got their hands on your throat, if you could hit them in a certain area like that side up in that groin area right there, hard as you can, they're going to let go. It ain't going to be as tight. So you got to do them. So when they do it, that's when you got to act too. Because they could take it and break your neck or do something like that. So when they do it, then you have to do, you got to react to the same time.
If you got the strength.
And then you size your opponents up when they come. You see, the thing was so merciful, God is so merciful that Satan will always show his face. You will know. You will know right then because they're going to throw off that vibe. You're going to know right then, and then they're going to come into your space. You don't let your enemy come into your space. And when they get too close, then you know something. That's right.
You don't let them get too close to you. Don't let them get too close to you. No. That's absolutely right. Girl, we got to check on out of here now. We got to go on and close up. The brothers haven't contributed anything to us, but except for Brother Muhammad and Sister Sharifa and the other brothers that's laying low, but it's okay. Tomorrow night is their night.
We're going to give them credit. Daya, we're going to give them credit. Uh-huh. They tuned in. So that's the credit. That was good right there. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, but well, at least they're listening. That's good. Alhamdulillah, that's good. Akbar, you want to call him out? You want to act like he's asleep. That's all right. You want to close out, Quran? You feel you ready?
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mayyiki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Oh my God, Dahir, you say it because I say it all the time when I be making my fajr, but this time I don't know what's going on. You say it for me, please.
Let's say it together. A'udhu billahi min shaitan. Near Rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki yawmiddin. Yakana Aburua, Yakana Stain, Ihdines Seroto Mustakin, Seroto Ladine Amta Alehim, Kairul Magdubi Alehim, Wali Dolin, I mean. Okay, that's all Fatiha. Then get your CD and play that part over and over. Get on your cell phone.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it up on my wall because I had it up on my wall and somebody came and got my Fatiha. So I'm going to place it up on my wall. Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
Again.
Well, you can look at it and see it. I thought maybe you wanted to hear it repetitiously.
No, I hear it every morning. I listen to it every morning.
That's the El Fatiha in Arabic. I was about to say it in English. Well, you know that's in the Quran. You know, that's
right,
the first chapter of Fatiha. So you can ask English right there.
Right. Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it on Sunday. I'll come on Sunday, and then I'll have it right when I come on Sunday. Inshallah, I have it right.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. I'll make do that you do that. Yeah. Okay. We're going to go now. You had something to talk to me. You told Akbar to ask me to call you about something. Do you still want me to call you? Okay. You forgot what it was about. If you did have something. Okay, maybe you remember. And then you send me text me.
No, that's what I said I would do. That's what I do my daughter. I said, call me back when you can. And then I text her and tell her this is what about just in case I forget.
Yeah, text me. That's what you do. Okay, then. Good talking to you and talking with you and sharing with you. And I pray Allah we can do this more, but we got to get these children still in line. I know Brother Amin say he hears talk about everything but the children. They're supposed to be our focus, but all of us included. It's still a message of
concern.
That's
right. That's right.
Yeah. Okay, then. We're going to go.
Okay, I'll talk. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam. Rahmatullah. Better country.